Jesus, you rejected the temptation that Satan put before you to look at the stones, buildings, and material items of this world. You were not distracted from the work that was put before you. The things of this world so often get our focus today. We have fallen to this temptation even here within the church. Please forgive us for focusing simply upon this structure, rather than looking to you and seeking to build your true church on earth, which is made up of all people who trust in you as their Lord and Savior. Please help us to be builders in your kingdom of heaven, rather than just concerned with brick and mortar. It is through your suffering, death, and resurrection that we have forgiveness and life. So it is therefore in your name, Jesus Christus, Jesus Christ, that we do pray. Amen. We listen to the words again from Mark 13. And as Jesus came out of the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what wonderful stones and what wonderful buildings." And Jesus said to him, "Do you see these great buildings? There will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down." This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. Built to last. What does that really mean? We think that we know what it means, but then we are still shocked when cars break down, or even our own bodies, for that matter, start to have some problems. Won't they all eventually? Why are we so surprised when everything that we sit or see or lean against in this world starts to wear out? That house that's been there isn't there any longer. I think some of us believe that if we really take good enough care of them, then they will continue to last. But we are told in the Word of God that the things that we can see now are only temporary, and the things that we can't see yet are actually permanent. We too often put faith in those things that we can see. And the disciples were really no different. They came to the big city of Jerusalem and the grandeur of it all, and it took their breath away. That great temple that King Herod had erected was very impressive. The use of gold and marble was definitely top-notch. There's no doubt about that. Each one of those stones that was used was grand. We're told by the historian Josephus that these stones that were used to build the temple were, I quote, "white and strong, and each of their length was 25 cubits, their height was 8, and their breadth about 12. If you're wondering what a cubit is, it's about 20 inches. So each of those monstrous white stones, each one was 41 and a half feet long, over 13 feet high, and 20 feet wide, as I illustrated with the children's message here this morning. And when they were stacked one on top of another, these colossal structures seemed to be immensely strong and solid. When you walked in the doorway between such huge ominous stones like we have portrayed on the front of our bulletin, and the huge buildings rose up away from you, a person could feel somewhat small and insignificant. When those small town boys from Galilee saw this structure, they were as awed as someone from some small town place would be awed in seeing the World Trade Center. That is, if the Twin Towers were still there. Those tall towers in New York had seemed so strong and big and formidable, just like the Pentagon, until the events of September 11th. And from those sad days, we have been reminded numerous times since that the things of this world, no matter how big and strong they look, are truly not built to last. In the beginning, all earthly things, including mankind, were built to last. God had made a beautiful garden for Adam and Eve to work in and enjoy. And everything around them, including each other, knew no decay or death. They only knew of the beauty that God had created for them. They knew love with one another, and they experienced the joy of being in the presence of the Lord. By our very nature, we were made to last. That's how God created us. But when sin entered into the world, everything changed. The things of this world started to decay and would experience death. Adam and Eve's relationship with one another was fractured, and as they thought of their own benefit first rather than each other's. Their relationship with God was now completely severed. The things that had been made and created by God had been built to last, yet man had broken them. When Adam and Eve went against the word of God, they saw the effect that it had on all creation, for them and their children after them. Jesus reminds his disciples of this in verse 2, where he says, "Do you see all these great buildings? Not one stone here will be left on another. Every one will be thrown down." He warns how this will continue until the end. He goes on to say in verse 7 how there will be wars and rumors of wars. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. Conflicts will not only continue, but they will escalate. Those physical things that we see around us, such as the very ground, will not be so solid and permanent. As he says, there will be earthquakes in various places and famines. Things of this world don't last, because mankind's rebellion against God has brought the curse of sin upon all creation, including ourselves. We are told that our life is like a mist, a vapor that appears for a little while and then it's gone. Our bodies are decaying and they will return to the dust from which we came. We can see this all around us. The things of this world are decaying and leaving. There is nothing that is built to last any longer here within this sinful world. And that's why we needed something, well, more exactly, someone who was not of this world, who could change things and bring new life where there was none. Jesus Christ had no beginning. The Bible describes Jesus, the Word made flesh, in the beginning of the book of John with these words: "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men." Jesus Christ was there when the world was first being formed. And after Adam and Eve chose to fall away from God, he promised that one would come to crush the head of that old evil serpent now called Satan. Jesus was born in that stable of Bethlehem without sin. He was born of the Virgin Mary to bring that everlasting life once more into the world. For Jesus had come to bear our sins and therefore to save his people from their sins and the wages of their sins. We are told that the wages of sin is death. We therefore each deserve to die because of our many sins, where we have thought certain things that were not good and wholesome about our neighbor and not good and pleasing unto God. We therefore each deserve to die because of our many sins, where we have not chosen to say only those things that are good for building one another up and improving their reputation. We therefore each deserve to die because of our many sins, with using these hands and these feet against those around us, rather than always seeking to lend a helping hand in each and every possible way. And we therefore each deserve to die because of our many sins, where we have not used these gifts and things of this world that will not last, God has given unto us for the benefit of everyone around us, rather than simply for our own pleasure and enjoyment. Yes, we therefore each deserve to die, which is why Jesus came to take our place. He came to bear our sins, as he would take our place before God the Father's just wrath at all of our sin. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. So Jesus came to give his very lifeblood in order that we might be given the complete and total forgiveness that he had come to purchase for us. This is something that we were powerless to do. We hear from Colossians chapter 2. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the written code with its regulations that was against us and that stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. The one who was truly meant to last forever set that aside to go to the cross. The one who knew no sin became sin for us, for you and me, upon the cross, to bear the punishment that our sins deserved. And when he had suffered all that was necessary for your and my salvation, he said, "It is finished." The payment was met and paid in full. And having breathed his last, he gave up the spirit. But he had promised, "Destroy this temple, and I will raise it in 3 days." And Jesus kept his word. He is risen.
He is risen.
Jesus Christ was truly built to last. He was raised from the dead, and he cannot die again. He experienced our death and burial and came forward to the light of dawn upon Easter morning, never to be found in that darkened grave ever again. And Jesus Christ came forth to rebuild us to last. He does not come with brick and mortar to build large, colossal buildings here within this world. He comes here unto this place when his word is read and preached and proclaimed, and when his word is united with water in baptism and with bread and wine in Holy Communion. He comes to strengthen our faith with the receiving of his word, for he promises, "Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." You see, the greatest thing about the temple at that time was not just the physical objects that their eyes could see. The best part about the temple was that God was there. He had promised that he would come and meet his people there. It was the house where God had chosen to come and dwell with his people. And God has promised to come here. Jesus said in Matthew 18:20, "Where two or three are gathered together in my name," as we did at the beginning of the service, "there am I in the midst of them." He has come to make us everlasting stones, not those physical stones that eventually wear apart. They fall apart and will be trampled upon. We instead hear in 1 Peter 2:5, "You yourselves are like living stones being built up." The church of Jesus Christ is made up of those who believe upon his suffering, death, and resurrection for all of their sins. Some get so bent out of shape about the physical structure of churches that they lose sight of building with living stones. They forget about the study of God's word and the confessing of it before others. God said, I quote, "that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved." Jesus is the Lord of life and brought us life when we were spiritually dead and unable to help. The Holy Spirit brought us that message of Christ through baptism and has adopted us as his very own. It's that connection to Jesus Christ that makes us truly part of his church, of part of his body. This message of Jesus is what connects us to one another, which gives us the promise of future life, as we sang about in our very first hymn here today. Christ is our cornerstone, on him alone we build, with his true saints alone the courts of heaven are filled. On his great love our hopes we place, of present grace and joys above. On him alone we build. That's what he warned his disciples about. See that no one leads you astray. Many will come in my name. Still today, there are many that come in the name of Christ, claiming to be Christians, who will point to so many other places other than only to Jesus Christ's sacrifice for the forgiveness that we so desperately need. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. It's because of his great love, which he showed upon the cross, that our hopes we place of present grace, that's here within this world, and joys above, which we have not yet had the chance to see with our own eyes. So when we see everything around us falling apart, we don't have to be alarmed. We know that's the way of things within this world. Those are things that aren't made to last. We will see the things of this world disappear with a roar. Yet we will see Jesus, who is our life. He will gather us with him in glory, together with the holy angels. And we will respond with the faithful throng as we gaze upon the face of our Lord and Savior Jesus, the one who was truly built to last. Therefore, I proclaim the beginning words of Revelation 19. Hallelujah. Salvation and glory and power belong to our God. For our Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory. Amen.